it's nice to see you all today. Made the notices for this morning. I've just gone off on my phone. I've been on technology. Okay, so Wednesday, 22nd, is prayer meeting at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the 24th, the cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall. The craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday, our service at 11 a.m. will be led by Darren Burgess. Worship Warriors will be at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. And I'd just like to give you an update on the Women of Action. Okay, so we received a letter from Sandra for Women of Action with an update and details of two events this year. There's a meeting on Saturday the 8th of February at 10:30 at Griffindom Chapel, and their AGM will be on Saturday the 26th of April at Hampden View Church, Sheffield. A copy of the letter that's been sent is on the notice board outside, so if you want to take a look, you can get further information. If you want to attend the event, please let me have your names, and also please can you have these events in your prayers. Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome Ian to the service this morning. Lovely. To lead us in our worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. It's really good to be with you. I know Sandra Fall quite well. I'm married to her, by the way, for those who don't know. So she would love to have been here, but unfortunately she's looking after our grandchildren. So that's good. So, yeah, it's really, really, it is a joy to be with you. Sandra and I moved back into the area in 2022. I was a minister in the denomination for 21 years. And then changed my role to work for a Christian charity called Flame International. And Flame go into places that have experienced trauma through war, genocide, terror and oppression. And we take God's healing and deliverance into those places. And we get to see the Lord do remarkable things in the lives of those who are the most disadvantaged, most marginalised, most abused kind of nations in the world. And yet the Lord just touches people and sets people free. And so I'm here to share something of that with you. But more than anything, what we want to do is encounter the risen Lord Jesus Christ, to know the love of the Father for us. And I pray that that would happen for us and to us as we gather together this morning. So I'm going to I will speak a little bit about the work that we've done, the places that we've been, maybe share a number of testimonies about some of the ways in which the Lord has brought such healing into some very, very difficult places. But first of all, let's pray, shall we? And then we can commence our time of sung worship. So, Lord, I want to say thank you so much that we can indeed gather in this place, that we do so knowing that you are with us. And not only that, but you are for us. And as you say, come, Lord Jesus, and have your way. Lord, would you just pour out your Spirit upon us today, that we might know your power and love within us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So our first song we're going to sing is in Songs of Fellowship, number 780, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my own discipleship walk, I think sometimes I get a bit stuck. And it just seems to be going through the motions sometimes. And it's like, well, is this it? And we just kind of like, we come to faith and then we come to church, and that's kind of then our trajectory from that point onwards until such point as we meet him face to face in glory. And is there more to it than that? And I would often say, well, yes. But the level to which we actually want to experience the power and the work of God is dependent upon how much we want to step into that. And so there's a part that we play, but there's also what he has done. And I was listening to a podcast recently with the Christian comedian Milton Jones on it. And he grew up in church. And kind of it was questioned as to whether or not he'd ever been at the moment where he'd kind of had a bit of rebellion. You know, they wanted to know that. He said, well, if I once missed... what he said, I once was late for youth club, I think it was what he said. But what he said during the course of this interview, which sort of like struck me actually, was he said, I grew up in church, and it's like when I was hearing all of the things about what Jesus did, it's like I knew what the antidote was, but I didn't know what the poison was. And I think that's sometimes some things that we face, that we all know that there is good news there. But because maybe for us we've grown up with it, that actually we don't know really understand how bad the bad news is. And therefore we attach that to it. But let me just awaken us to the reality of the power and wonder of what Jesus did for us. We've just sung about how deep the Father's love for us is. And really my desire for us all for this morning is to take that, to know the truth of it, and to walk out different because of it. So let's pray, shall we? Lord, I'll speak for myself, but sometimes when we look at what's going on elsewhere, it's almost as if we might put ourselves into a two-tier Christianity, and we know that that isn't the case, because you are sovereign God. You are the glorious one. You are the creator. You are the sustainer of all things. You formed us and you crafted and shaped us, and you gave us skills and talents and gifts. And Lord, as much as we walk in the good things and we've seen the good things in our lives, we know that you are true in the difficult and the damaging times in our lives. And that, Lord, that being part of your family doesn't mean that we are separate from the pain and the torment and the sorrow and the grief of life. But your promise to us is that we don't face those things alone. That you, in your sovereign grace, came down. You came and walked among us. You came and dwelt among us. You were Emmanuel. You are Emmanuel, who is God with us. And so even though there are times of hardship and difficulty, your promise to us is that you will always be with us as we walk through them. And Lord, you give us the strength to do this. This is not something that we've got to try and manufacture ourselves and try and gird our loins, as it was, and get the energy to do it. Lord, you come in your power, in your love, and your grace towards us. And Lord, you give abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine. And so, Lord, right at this outset, we just want to come before you. And we know if there's areas in our lives that, Lord, don't match your will and don't match your word, then, well, Lord, we just want to say sorry. Lord, if there are things that we have said this week or not said that we should have done, if we've withheld comfort or if we have spoken a harsh word, then, Lord, we come before, even thought a harsh thought. Lord, we know that you see it all. And so right at the outset, Lord, we come and lay these things down at the cross, and we thank you that you bore the whole weight of the pain of the sin that we commit, that we might not be crushed under the burden of it, but rather walk in the freedom of your truth. And so, Lord, we say, as we lay those burdens down, if we have got disappointment, then, Lord, we choose to lay that down at the cross. If we have a carrying around with us bitterness and unforgiveness, even of ourselves, then, Lord, we come and we choose to lay that burden at the cross also, knowing that you dealt with it there. And we say, Lord, would you have your way? And, Lord, would we see things differently? Would our eyes be opened that we might see the truth of who you are, the glory of who you are, but the depth of the love that you have for us right now, here in this place. And we ask that in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we say together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. When you take the offering, is that separate to a song, or do you have it during? Or do you have it during a song? Okay. Okie dokie, there we go. So this is, you can see this is polished, can't you? This is the way we work. So I always say, an offering is offered, a collection is collected.
So we'll take up our offering now, if that's okay. Lord, when we consider the just sheer magnitude of the gifts that you have given us, then, Lord, we just want to use all for your glory and for your name. And so we pray, Lord, that as we give this offering now, that you would bless it and that everyone here in this place would use this for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So I said I'd share a little bit about what we do and where we go. I'll just change it. The problem is I'm into a place where I have to have two pairs of glasses now. The distance ones and the reading ones. So last year we were able to go as an organisation on 10 different missions. What we tend to do is we go to places for around about 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks it tends to be. And we go to places where we can work with people on the ground. So it's not like we kind of parachute in and do our thing and disappear. We work with people who are in local churches to equip local leaders to be able to take the teaching on. We want to be disciples who make disciples. We want to see the kingdom of God grow. We always, when we get the delegates coming from the places that come to our conferences, we always feed them and give them accommodation. And we're only a very small kind of organisation. We're not a large organisation. We rely very much on our volunteers as well. So last year we went to Nigeria to work with some of the victims of the Fulani tribe who are out there. One person was sharing with my boss, who's a lady called Jan Ransom, and she'd lost 27 members of her family because they'd been killed by that tribe. And when we go in, I mean, we teach into forgiveness. We teach into release and to see the brokenhearted restored by Jesus. And that's what he does. Even in the most dire and difficult of situations. And like I say, this is not for the faint-hearted, but what we do see is we see the power of God at work into those sort of situations. I went out in April last year to Armenia. Now, Armenia is a tiny little country. It's supposed to be the oldest Christian country in the world. And it's situated between Turkey on the left-hand side, Azerbaijan on the right-hand side, Georgia at the top, and Iran at the bottom. And they experienced a genocide over 100 years ago by the Turks, who never sort of admitted that's what they did. And the spiritual impact of that still weighs heavy upon that nation. And you can literally see people walking around with the weight of the world on their shoulders. More recently, there was a conflict with Azerbaijan on that on that eastern border, where since the 1990s there's been various conflicts, the latest of which was in 2022, when the Azeris overran an area called Nagorno-Karabakh, and 120,000 people were displaced out of that nation and so became refugees in their own country. Anyway, last year we were ministering to pastors and their wives and equipping them and enabling them. And one couple came, his name was George, I can't remember what his wife's name was, and he was in my kind of ministry group. And his son had been killed in the very last day of the conflict. You know, in those moments in the First World War where they knew that the 11th of November was coming and yet people were dying right up to that moment, you think, how is this happening? The same had happened to his son. And you could just see that, again, his countenance was down. He was just covered by weight of grief and of pain and of sorrow. Anyway, he heard our teaching, particularly on forgiveness. And during the course of the ministry, he said to George, "George, do you think you could forgive the people who murdered your son in that ambush?" And he said, "Yes." And as part of the way that we get people to respond, whether we do this teaching in the UK or abroad, we have a cross and we have little red discs to people come and nail the disc into the cross as a symbol that they're letting go. They're giving it all over to Jesus. They're letting go of that unforgiveness. And he came forward and he nailed his forgiveness into the cross and his whole countenance changed. You could see that burden had been lifted off of him. And actually, something similar was happening for his wife in the group that she was at. And at the end of our conference, she said, "I now have hope for the future." So this is the kind of thing that we get to do. So we've been to Nigeria. We've worked in Turkey, where we were with some Farsi-speaking people in churches that are in the persecuted church. I can't say where that is, but they're Farsi speaking, and we fly them out of their nation and we teach and we train and equip them, and then they go back into that situation. We saw the Lord touch lives tremendously there. I was out in Uganda in September working with YWAM. We trained and equipped some YWAM students for the first week, and the second week we went on a two-hour journey in the back of a Land Cruiser to the Rhino refugee camp, which is one of the largest refugee camps in northern Uganda, working with South Sudanese refugees and pastors. There were about 50 of them who came, and we trained and we equipped them too. And we saw the Lord do wonderful things. There's one lady pastor who was part of this thing that we were doing in this church, in this refugee camp. And she held bitterness and unforgiveness against her daughter-in-law and against her own in-laws. It's a very difficult situation out in those camps at the moment because the UN are reducing the amount of aid that they give to people in those camps by a significant amount. And there are three categories. Category three, you get very, very little food. Category two, you get even less than that, very, very little food. Sorry, did I say one or three? To start with three. Sorry, meant one is very little, two is even less, three is nothing at all. And if you're a church leader, they think that you are as any church leader is in Uganda, and therefore you don't get anything. You're category three straight away. And so these people are coming, but the Lord is just providing in miraculous ways into the lives of these people. But for some of them, it's so difficult, they just abandon their families and leave. And this had happened to this poor pastor who, she'd got some children, and her daughter-in-law had gone off, and her in-laws had gone off about 2 years previously, and just left her holding the burden. Anyway, she heard our teaching on forgiveness, and she forgave her daughter-in-law and her in-laws. That night, she received a phone call with a number she didn't recognise from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And she answered it and said, "Hello, who is this?" It was her daughter making contact with her again after having not done so for 2 years. And so they were able to reconcile over the phone. She hung the phone up. An hour later, her in-laws phoned her, having not been in touch for 2 years. You know, when we let go in forgiveness, the Lord does some extraordinary things. And so may I just encourage you, if you've got something in your own heart and you know that it's a burden and you know that you're giving free rent to somebody in your head because you're carrying them around everywhere you go, can I encourage you? Give it over to the Lord, hand it to him and see what he does in response to that. Anyway, I could go on forever. I'm not going to. But I just want to encourage you. This is Jesus. This is his work. This is what he does. This is who he is. So we're going to sing together number 102. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. So it's song number 102. So I'd ask if we could have our reading, please.
Verses 11-32. Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed you once, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' Amen."
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Now, I know that for a lot of you, that passage is very familiar, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to draw something fresh out of that passage. That's the grounding where we are. But before we do that, we're going to sing again. The words are going to be on the screen from that amazing hymn, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." I have that on repeat in my office. It's kind of like I have YouTube playing in the background, and that's kind of my go-to at the moment. It's just, I love the phrasing of it. I love the truth in the words, and you can tell I get a little bit excited about various things, don't I? Anyway, so. But, you know, I hope it's all that. It comes across as being authentic. So, what I want to focus on just this morning is the Father heart of God towards us. It's an incredible thing to think that the creator of all that ever was or ever will be, the person who forms you, the one who knows you inside and out, we know him and can know him as Father. That God's love for you is unconditional. Romans 5:8 tells us that God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So there's nothing about us in terms of what our goodness that did it. It was all about his grace. And that because God loved us so much, he sent his only son, Jesus, 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, "This is love. God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him in this love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." That means they're covered. There's nothing more to pay. It's done. It's a done deal. And it's interesting as well that Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So in that reality then, you might know God as judge, you might know him as creator, you might know him as the powerful one up there somewhere, but we only ever know God as Father through Jesus. And that's what he means by that. But also, Jesus shows us what the Father is like, because he said to his disciples, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So what is the Father like? Well, he's like Jesus. And what is Jesus like? Well, he's like the Father. These are the reality of who the God whom we serve is. And Scripture talks to us about the depth of Father's love. Often at weddings we read 1 Corinthians 13 and that chapter on love and all of those attributes of love and its patience and its kindness and its goodness and its faithfulness. All of those things about love. But who is love? God is love. So all of those things that we find in 1 Corinthians 13 are a description of the character of God. That's who he is. He keeps no record of wrongs. This is the God who we serve. And in Romans 8, it tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we say nothing, it means nothing. There is nothing that will separate us from his love. My sin does not stop him loving me. He is not ashamed to be my Father. I am adopted into his family. You are adopted into his family. My own family history is that my mum and dad split up when I was 8 years old. He had an affair with somebody else and he went off. My mum threw him out because she found out about it. And he then went to live with this other woman who had got two sons. One a year younger than me and one a year younger than my brother. So he abandoned us to go and take up with this other family. Not only that, on Saturdays when he had access, he'd come and pick us up, me and my brother, take us back to his house where we would sit downstairs and read the newspaper and watch the television on the sport on the Saturday. And we were expected to go and play upstairs with these two boys who'd replaced us. Anyway, my mum remarried and my stepdad legally adopted me and my brother. My name changed. So Fall isn't my original surname. Anyway, that's an aside. It's not really important. Anyway, what is important is I got a new name. What is important, I knew what it was as a 14-year-old then to be adopted, to have recognition that my whole life had changed. I got a new identity. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and we're adopted into his family, he gives us a new name and we know what it is to belong. There is an assurance that comes from it. There is a certainty that comes from it. There is a glory that comes alongside it. So he has adopted us into his family. He is faithful. If God is for us, who can be against us? He provides for all we need. He comforts and he cares. He is close to us when we are crushed and broken. Psalm 34 verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. His love overcomes fear. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love doesn't just move fear out of the way. It casts out fear. And who is the perfect love? Well, God is love, it's him. He is perfect love. But he does discipline us. That's probably the bit we're not so keen on, if we're honest, you know. But he talks to us and says, "Look, because I love you, I will discipline you." And it's not ever to diminish us, to humiliate us, to make us bad or feel bad, but it's always for our good. It's always to lead us into a better life, because he forgives us. So with all of those things,
We need to understand that we are not an accident. We are not here by some random chance. We're not here because of the behest of our fathers or our mothers. We're here because God intends us to be here. He intended you to be created. He intended you to be known by Him. He intended you for relationship with Him. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." He is the father to the fatherless. He does not abandon. Psalm 68 verse 5, "Father to the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." And Psalm 27 verse 10, "For my father and mother may forsake me, but the Lord will take me in." This is our Father God. So the question is then, if that is the reality of who he is, and it is, what is it that prevents us from being able to walk in the truth of it? And I think one of the problems is, and this is what we minister, the teaching I'm giving here is teaching that we deliver all over the world, and when I did training in the UK as well, this is what we teach, this is how we teach into it. So what stops us? Well, what stops us is that for a large number of us, we've never known what it was to receive unconditional love. Because, and then this isn't to sort of like bring any judgment on our own earthly parents or any situation or circumstance we may have found ourselves in, but there's maybe for us, our experience of what it was to be loved by a father was less than it should have been. And actually what happens is that now informs the way that we view God as Father. So what can be done about that? Well, my good news, folks, is that the Lord can redeem that. And he doesn't want us to be bound by the experience that we've had from our earthly fathers to inform who he is. So what might that actually look like in practice? Well, maybe our fathers... It was all about performance. That actually nothing was ever good enough. No matter how hard we tried, no matter how high we achieved, no matter the levels that we reached, it was never ever good enough for that person. And that came with no affirmation. At no point did they ever say, "You did so well. I'm really pleased with what you've done there. I know that you tried your best. And that was all that I could have asked of you." It was more along the lines of that you probably got 19 out of 20. And rather than celebrating the 19, they want to know what went wrong with the one. And what that does is it pushes us to perfectionism. It pushes us to try harder in each time. Maybe now it's always a striving to please the people around us. Because we never think that what we've done is sufficient. It's never enough. It's never good enough. And that's the way that we view ourselves. So maybe for us, our experience of the Father's love was one where whatever we did, it was never actually going to meet the mark. It was never going to be good enough. And therefore, we have now a view of Father God where we think, well, what's the point? Because I'm never going to be good enough. I can't be good enough for God. And in reality, let's look back at Luke 15. He is the Father. He is the one who is running towards us in all that undignified way, with his robes flapping behind him and his sandals hitting the pavement as he goes. He is running towards us. His love is far greater than we can ever ask or imagine. And he wants us to know that in its truth. So maybe it's about performance. Maybe it's about authoritarianism, where our fathers demanded obedience, that there was a harshness about them, an anger about them, that there was a domination about them, that it was dictatorial. And for us, there was an absolute, total fear of getting something wrong.
that we never quite knew how they were going to be and how they were going to react. So you are literally treading on eggshells around them, and you are absolutely petrified about making the mistake. It's a bit like, I don't know if people remember Monty Python, maybe it's not the right place to cry. You know, they used to have that big foot that come out of the sky and squash, you know? And maybe for us, what we've done is we've projected that domination and that harshness and that anger and that authoritarianism and that sort of issue of, if I make a mistake, God is just going to crush me. And sometimes that just prevents us from doing anything in the first place, because you know what? It's easier not to do anything and not make a mistake than do it and make a mistake. And it kind of hamstrings us because we don't want to make a step forward. So maybe that was our father, that was all about the authoritarian and it was demanding. But God, there's another side to that coin. Maybe for us that our father was just passive. But they really didn't care what we did anyway. You know, there was no protection there. And actually, whether we did good or bad, it really made no difference as to how they felt towards us, because there was just nothing coming back. Or maybe for us, again, our fathers were absent, where we were abandoned. They just weren't present. Maybe it's because they had to work very, very, very long hours, and kind of so our relationship with them was such that we never really got to know them, and they never really got to know us or share any time with us because they were away. Maybe our fathers died when we were young, and we never had to have that relationship with them in the first place. Or maybe we were on the end of an abusive relationship. Whether that was verbal, physical, or sexual. Where the love of the Father for us was not what it should have been. And in all of these things, what can happen to us? What are the effects of these wounds? Because they run deep. They run so deep. Well, we are, if you've heard Sandra speak here, she may well have talked about spirit, soul and body, that we are created with. We're not just this outer shell, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And as much as we can be damaged in our body, we can be damaged in our spirit and our soul as well. Our spirit is the part of which communicates with God. Our soul is where our mind, our will and our emotions are. And what can happen is internally, we can be crushed and damaged. And we can have these incorrect thoughts about who God is, because all of our experience we project on him in regards to performance, authoritarian, or being passive. Maybe you think God just doesn't care, too busy doing other things, or he's absent, not present. And we find it hard then to receive God's love, because we're trying to earn God's love. We're trying to earn the gift that has already been given. And actually that then has a view on how we show love to others. It kind of prevents us from walking in the truth of that as well. So what can we do? Well, first of all, I mean, it might be that our own experience of father was great. You know, it could have been that we've had really good fathers, and that's amazing. And that's brilliant. And we thank God for the good aspects, you know, because there are. It's not all bad news. So we thank the Lord for that. But we also need to acknowledge the failings of our fathers and the wounding that that has done in regards to ourselves. Wounds need to be healed of, but sins need to be forgiven of. And so we do a whole lot of teaching into forgiveness. And they said, no, please don't think I'm trying to make light of anything that anybody has gone through. I don't. But I also know the power of the cross and the magnitude of what Jesus bore in that moment. And there is nothing that was not covered on that day. There was nothing that was not dealt with on the cross by Jesus. He bore the weight of the pain that we suffered so that we don't need to be burdened by it. And so we can choose to forgive. It doesn't make what happened right. It doesn't validate that. But what it does, it recognises that we get crushed under the weight of it, but Jesus took the pain away.
And so we can give it to him. We can choose to give it to him. So we can choose to forgive our fathers. And also, we can choose to forgive ourselves for then projecting how they were onto God himself. And repent if we've believed any lies about the love that God has for us, thinking somehow that we're excluded from it, thinking that somehow that's not how it is for us, that it's true for everybody else, but not for us. That isn't the case. And ask the Lord to reveal to us the depth of the love that he has for us. Lord, would you, Father God, what do you say about me? What is the truth of who I am as your child? I was had the privilege of going away. My work paid me to go on a 9-week course, residential, up near Lancaster, which was absolutely remarkable. And I thought I was being sent away to be equipped and trained to be able to move into the ministry that I do now, which is pretty much this, but in lots of different places over the country and abroad as well. I thought I was going to have the gaps in my knowledge filled. What happened instead is the gaps in my heart were filled. You see, I've explained a little bit about what happened in my family history. What I didn't realise was how much that was impacting the way that I was responding and reacting to people. And I'd carried around these wounds for decades. Because my view of Father God was not everything it should have been. Because I thought that he probably was remote somewhere like that, and sort of like I had to try and earn his love, or he was particularly uninterested in what was going on in my life. And in the very first week at this place, the person who actually oversees the whole ministry says, "Ian," he says, I just get the feeling that the Lord wants to say that he just loves hanging out with you. He says he even loves it when you sit there shouting at the telly at the rugby. He thinks it's hilarious. And he's just saying to his angels, come and see my child. And I have to say, it absolutely broke me. Because I started to understand what it was that I was God's. In that 9 weeks, my takeaway was, I'm God's son and he loves me. And you are God's daughter and he loves you. And you are God's son and he loves you. But the Lord I wasn't going to use the word sneaky because he's not sneaky. But the Lord has a way of changing our hearts and then gives us an opportunity to see the outworking of it. So my natural dad still lives with the woman who he left me and my brother and my mum for. And he lives in Shrewsbury. And I was coming home for the weekend after the first week of being away in Lancaster. And I'd arranged. I'd had various contact with him, not a lot. We hadn't got a close relationship. And it could sometimes be a year, even longer, before I'd been to see him, because it was a distance, and where we used to live before it was even more of a distance. Anyway, I thought, I'll call in on the way back from Lancaster into Shrewsbury and then come back to home to Bedworth just to say hello and just to sort of, are you okay? Now, the last couple of times that I'd been, his wife had said to me just before I left, "You know, it's not just your dad's fault that he left your mum, don't you?" Just always just at the last moment before I left the house. And I get in the car and I think, I don't understand what you're saying. He's saying it's my fault. He's saying it was my mum's fault. And it really bugged me. And I thought, and I determined that, okay, if she says that again this time, I'm going to challenge that and say, what do you mean? Okay, so there was me. Anyway, the Lord is tenderizing my heart during this first week of this course. He's letting me know about his love for me, about his reality of who he is as father. And I'm going to see my father. I'm going, Lord, okay, I had forgiven. I've laid it all down at the cross. And I said, Lord, would you just do a work here? And so they know that I'd changed my role that I was doing. And I went to visit them in their house. It's only a tiny little place. My dad's actually on oxygen now. And sort of like, so I'm sat there between the two of them, sort of talking about my work. Because the Lord had challenged me on the way down in the car. Because he'd said, Ian, do you think you could tell your dad you love him
And I went,
no. It's not really the sort of thing that's easy to come out in a conversation, is it? How's that going to drop into the conversation? Ian, do you think you could tell your dad you love him? Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. I'm having a conversation. This is driving down the motorway. I'm having this conversation with God in my car. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes. Genuinely. Okay. I can. I can say that I love him. And then I said, Lord, how? How's this going to work? Anyway, so here I am. I've arrived. I've prayed. I've got people praying for me. And I'm sat on this settee with my dad here and his wife there. And I'm kind of backwards and forwards. And at one point, I turned to her name's Lynn. She said to me, Ian, you know it's my fault that your dad left your mum, don't you? But you still love your dad. And I was able to turn to him and say, yes, I do. God is so good. God is so good. And I had the best conversation I've ever had with my dad in that moment. I was able to pray with them both before I left. Now, that's a journey. I have to say, this is still a journey. But when the Lord just does extraordinary things. If we can choose to lay them down, he does things that we could just can't begin to imagine as to what he will do in those moments. And so if we've got in our heart a misunderstanding about the love of God towards us, and we've projected that image upon him, if we're carrying around with us in the weight at the moment, if we realise, actually, I recognise that there may well be fathers here, and I've read those things, and we think, you know what, that's the way that I was with my children. We can repent of that. And he is good and faithful and will forgive us for that. And then we say, Lord, I just lay that down before you. Would you give me an opportunity just to restore relationship? Because he does. All right. So I'm going to ask us to come into a time of prayer. Let's just pray, shall we? Because we need to bring it to him. Now, please be clear that I've not said anything to bring any condemnation upon any individual here or upon our earthly fathers. That is definitely not the point here. The point is always to lead into that place of freedom and forgiveness and of liberty and being set free. Lord, I just want to say thank you that we exist because of our Father. I mean, that's one of the things. It's biology. But as we said at the start, that's not an accident. You determined that we would be. But Lord, you also want us to know the truth and reality of what it is to have you as Father. So, Lord, if we have had any wrong image of who you are and your truth, we want to choose to lay that down right now. And, Lord, would you just touch that place within our spirits that has been crushed and burdened, or maybe we feel orphaned and abandoned. But, Lord, would you let us know the reality of what it is that we've adopted into your family. You've given us a new name. You've given us a fresh start, and we can lay that burden down. We might need to do it over a period of time. Each time, Lord, we recognise, we choose to lay it down until our hearts are changed by you. But Lord, would you, if we've believed any lies about you, would you just gently let us know that so that we can just repent of it? And choose to follow you. And Lord, would you reveal your truth to us of who you are? You are the forgiving Father. You are the gracious Father. You are the loving Father. You delight in your children. You delight in us. Lord, we give you joy.
We don't have to earn your love. We cannot. You're not waiting to sort of smash us at any mistake we might make. Lord, you just want us to come and ask for forgiveness. And the Lord, that sets us free again. And Lord, if we're carrying any fear, then I just want to lift that off in your precious name right now. Through the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us, would you come? And Lord, will this day be different? Lord, a new start. And Lord, if we as fathers have not been the fathers that we could have been or should have been, then Lord, we again ask for forgiveness. And Lord, would you help us to find a way, Lord, in the way, only not we would try and manufacture it, but Lord, would you make a way where those relationships can be restored, that your glory would be seen and your love would grow. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close our time together by singing 1,346, In Christ Alone. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all for this day and forevermore. Amen. 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 If you'd like to know more, you can sit down, sorry. You have to stand up. If you'd like to know more about the charity, you can just like type in a Flame International into a Google search. It will come up. There's all sorts of teaching on our website. And you can sort of learn about the missions that we're going to be going on. We currently have something where we are raising money to go to Ukraine. Obviously, that situation is live. A lot will depend upon what happens after tomorrow in America, to be honest with you. My boss Jan, went out on a recce at the end of August last year. And we intend to go on two missions to Ukraine next year. We've got a team going out to Nigeria a week tomorrow. I'm going to Armenia again in April. We have some more missions out to the Farsi speakers. We've got some people working with refugees in Athens. These are all happening now. So this is what God does. He's on the move. We also do work in the UK as well, which is amazing. So if you'd like to know more, you can always talk to me after this time as well. And there's a few little resources in the front if you want to take one of those away with you. But the Lord bless you and go with you. Amen.